Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. Devlet Bahçeli, the leader of the ultranationalist MHP party in Turkey and Erdogan's junior coalition partner, presented a map of the Aegean that showed many Greek islands as Turkish, including Crete. The image prompted reactions from Greece's foreign ministry and from Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis, who tweeted the image and called on Turkish President Erdogan to clarify whether this is in fact Turkish policy or just a dream of nationalist extremists. Expert Konstantinos Filis, the director of the Institute of Global Affairs and an associate professor of international relations at the American College of Greece, joins me with the latest analysis from Athens. Konstantina, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Nice joining you again, Thanos.
Is this latest map, you know, that shows almost half of the Aegean as Turkish, including islands like Crete, a sign that we're in for new escalations and provocations on the part of Ankara?
In responding to your question, allow me to make a necessary distinction that isn't made enough by the Greek side. A provocative statement from a Turkish official is one thing. A map that is a provocation that reaffirms Turkey's aggressive revisionism is another. And actions on the ground are yet another thing. So in the case of the Bahçeli map, as with the Blue Homeland map, which has become the official doctrine of Turkish policy, we're not talking about a mere provocation, but the expression of aggressive revisionism that includes the territory of a third country. And in the case of the Blue Homeland map, it's actually become official. Obviously, for the time being, a map that shows Crete, among other places, as being Turkish, is a version of Turkish nationalism so extreme that it will be difficult for it to get official support. On the other hand, we and our partners need to consider that Turkey has in the past raised objections as to the extent to which Gavdos, south of Crete, should have an exclusive economic zone and continental shelf. And if nothing else, it is noteworthy that in the well-known Turkish-Libyan agreement, the presence of Crete, one of the largest islands in the Mediterranean, is completely ignored in the service of an illegal delimitation between Ankara and Tripoli.
Today, Prime Minister Mitsotakis reacted to this map on Twitter, and he called on Turkish President Erdogan to clarify whether this is in fact Turkish policy or just a quote-unquote fever dream of extremists. In your view, is this something that not only Erdogan, but also Turkey's main opposition needs to clarify?
Mr. Tavelis, I'd like to make a necessary clarification here as well. Bahçeli is the product of the deep state, and in spite of the fact that he and his party were once seen as a marginal group, for some years now Erdogan has drawn support for them, because without the votes of Bahçeli's party, Erdogan wouldn't have the required majority in the Turkish National Assembly. With regard to Bahçeli, we no longer know if his views are those of an absurd and outdated politician or if they have become mainstream. And though until recently Erdogan had not expressed hostile intentions towards Greece, he seems to have started backing the agenda of the nationalist Kemalists, whether out of the need for political survival or because he now feels free to show his real self. But the Blue Homeland was adapted under his rule, and it will be more or less impossible for his successor, whoever that may be, to reject the Blue Homeland and the Turkish-Libyan agreement. Consequently, the Greek Prime Minister was very right to ask Erdogan to condemn the views of his government junior partner, just as it would be useful for us to hear the views of Turkey's main opposition party or the joint position of the six parties that comprise the opposition to Erdogan. I remind you, though, that one of the most prominent officials of this opposition is Aksener, who is showing a lot of momentum with her party polling at nearly 20%, while Bahçeli, according to the same polls, won't get into parliament. So Aksener comes from the roots of the National Action Party, MHP, and that is highly indicative of the situation.
And we shouldn't forget that earlier this year, the leader of the CHP, the main opposition, urged Erdogan to take steps in the Aegean as well.
Indeed.
Professor, Erdogan is currently at his weakest point yet. Could it be that as a result of this political weakness, the influence of Erdogan's nationalist coalition partners is increasing, especially when it comes to shaping Turkey's foreign policy?
Bahçeli may be interventionist, but for Erdogan, he is also disposable. He's important right now because, as I said, he gives Erdogan his parliamentary majority, and Erdogan is probably thinking about the huge mistake he made in changing the constitution to require a 50+1% majority. But Bahçeli's usefulness could be exhausted if Erdogan found a way to break the opposition front. But let's be realistic. Whether Erdogan chooses to align himself with Bahçeli in the next elections, the most likely scenario, as Erdogan is more or less trapped by the choices he has already made, or with some other opposition party, though this seems highly unlikely. All of the other parties, with the exception of the Kurdish Labour Party, have identical views on Greece and Cyprus. So the extremist stance we have seen in recent months is nothing more than the genuine expression of a nationalism that pervades the Turkish political elite and a portion of Turkish society, whether we call them Kemalist cosmopolitans or Islamists.
Some may try to dismiss this latest map as something isolated to Turkish extremist circles, or try to link it to the upcoming elections. Is this a dangerous position to take, especially in the post, you know, February 24th world that we live in, and in light of Turkey's unprecedented escalation of tensions that we've seen in the Aegean?
Unfortunately, Mr. Develis, in defiance of the predictions made by many people and scholars, revisionism on a global level is not being punished, or perhaps we don't have the right tools to appropriately punish revisionism in an interdependent and interconnected world. Or the West has yet to find the policy mix to make revisionism so costly that no one will follow Russia's footsteps. At the end of the day, there are two things of great concern. On the one hand, we are heading towards a post-Western world, which seems to lack rules and values, even in an imperfect way, as we have seen them in recent decades. And second, precisely because the post-Cold War world created a lot of injustice, social inequality, and was rife with Western hypocrisy, especially on the part of the US, right now a large portion of the planet isn't siding with justice against the Russian invasion. In an environment like this, nothing gives countries like Greece a sense of security. We can feel the revisionist breath of a neighbor that is using methods and practices similar to those of Russia to impose its will. And the only thing saving us is our strong alliances, our strong economy, and strong military. Those who attribute Turkey's positions solely to run up to Turkish elections are being very short-sighted, hiding their heads in the sand. All of this has been said before past elections in Turkey, but with the war in Ukraine, Turkey feels its position has been upgraded, giving it the opportunity to exhibit its revisionist intentions. And this is extremely dangerous and has to be moderated immediately. Otherwise, it would be like our partners are incubating the serpent's egg.
So far, we haven't seen the United States or Greece's other partners and allies comment on this incident with the map that Baksili presented. Given the seriousness of the situation in the Aegean and the fact that this is a junior coalition partner of Erdogan, is this a chance for the United States, for the European Union, and for NATO to forcefully condemn Turkey's revisionism?
This is obviously an opportunity. That's why the Greek side chose to internationalize the issue and not let it pass unnoticed. It provides an opportunity for everyone who's developed an allergy to revisionism and the use of force and the threat of force to impose this revisionism to condemn Bakhtili's position and take this opportunity to take a stance against Turkey's aspirations in the wider region. But we're not going to see anything spectacular. Though it is true that on the level of the Congress, not Greece, but international legality has found a firm supporter that sees that transactional diplomacy always favors the opportunist and not the countries that follow a policy of principles and values. That is why this is an opportunity for the Congress, in the case of the F-16, for example, to set down a framework for Turkey's conduct and the imposition of rules. And if these rules are not respected, Turkey will not be allowed to purchase and upgrade F-16s.
Professor Filis, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current again. Always great speaking with you.
Thanks for your kind invitation.
In other news, European countries are putting plans in place to manage gas supply and even ration power in case Russian gas flows stop completely or a planned outage at the Nord Stream 1 pipeline is extended. Russian gas supply to Europe via Nord Stream 1 was curtailed to 40% of capacity last month, and Moscow said more delays in repairs could lead it to suspend all flows. If Russia pulls the plug on supply, Europe, including Greece, will need to prepare for a challenging winter, and a backup plan is being drafted in Athens. A precondition for the effectiveness of the Greek plan, which foresees more lignite production and more plants, is that LNG is available on the international market for Greek companies to buy. Finally, the Greek economy may grow more than expected as tourists return to the country in greater numbers, according to the central bank chief. In an interview Saturday, Yanis Tournaras said that an expansion of 3.2% is the baseline scenario at the Bank of Greece. This, he added, is based on the assumption that revenues from tourism would hit 80% of the revenues of 2019, a record-breaking year. Instead, Sturnara said, it seems to be that it is going to be close to 100%. So 3.2% perhaps is on the lower end of the probability distribution. While a cost of living crisis means European consumers have cut back on some spending, foreign travel has proven an exception, and tourists are flocking to Greece. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.